Don't get caught in the middle. The Three Wide Podcast will be right back after this timeout.
Buckle up. The Three Wide Podcast is on the air. In-depth analysis between the three biggest divisions in NASCAR. The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series. And now, the green flag flies from the Little Apple in Manhattan, Kansas. Podcasting to the world. It's the Three Wide Podcast with EG3. Here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's up? What's up, y'all? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast Special Edition here in Manhattan, Kansas. Eddie Greer III here with y'all one more time for the 3Wide Podcast, where we talk about obviously the three biggest divisions in all NASCAR: Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. I don't know why I'm still tempted, even with the season wrapped up, to say the Monster Energy Cup Series. But hey, I got it right. NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And on this edition, this is going to just focus mainly on the Cup Series, and then our season finale. I know I'm jumping the gun here. Season finale of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast next week. I have a guest already lined up. So even if things change, the plan is still to move forward. But as of now, we have a special guest that will go more in depth with, especially with the trucks, what took place there in the Xfinity Series races in Arizona last weekend, both of them going to overtime with thrilling finishes. Last lap passes on both of them. There was Sheldon Creed, Austin Cindric, champions in their respective series. 2020 Truck Series champion, Sheldon Creed. 2020 Xfinity Series champion, Austin Cindric. There was all last lap passes. The Cup Series did not have a last lap pass, as Chase Elliott brought it home, his first Cup championship, and he's actually in that Hendrick stable, another championship for Mr. Hendrick. And Jimmy John, this was obviously fascinating when hopping on Crashing the Party for Loose Lugs online. I'll be on that podcast next month for a special episode there. So there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, and I'm working on a project, or I'm going to start this project hopefully after the season finale. I'm going to leave that cliffhanger for y'all as well. So we've had a couple interviews in the last couple off seasons as well. So I want to do a little bit more of that this off season as well. So now I ain't going anywhere, folks. We got season 6 on the way next year, Lord willing. So, yes, season 6 come next year for sure. So, this podcast ain't going anywhere anytime soon. So, absolutely excited for that. But, yeah, we got unfinished business here with the Cup Series. I wanted to mainly focus on this evening. So, I don't have much time that I usually do for this podcast here, this first episode here tonight. So I'm going to keep this brief here because I want to save majority. Well, I'm going to dive more into this Cup Series, but we'll definitely talk more the truck side for sure. Briars with our special guest right there. I might have spilled the beans there just a little bit there. But yeah, so there's that as well here on this Friday evening here. So block is short as usual, so this will go out immediately, probably at least tonight or in the morning. But I'm gonna try to shoot for this tonight, get this out there for the weekend so you guys can listen to it as well. Kind of a choppy start to the podcast, but we're gonna move on because it's off season, so obviously this thing could go off. Any episode usually goes off the rails when I'm not talking about the racing, but the Cup Series race, man, the only race that did not go into overtime, obviously, and a common theme denominator. Last champion from Chevy Camp, Jimmy Johnson, started in the back of the field, worked his way up. This was back when a championship race was still at Homestead at that time. Jimmy Johnson methodically working his way through the fields when he still had Chad Knaus, and then was in top 10. And I don't know, and I was interested. I was really intrigued in how this race was going to play out, especially the first race, that the championship race, not Homestead. Usually the four championship drivers rise to the top over everybody else. And the funny thing is, the same thing happened here. It's the case Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, who led quite a bit early on in this race. And Denny Hamlin, oh yeah, I'm going to talk about him here in a little bit. Denny Hamlin, again, coming up short in a championship setting. But again, the cream rises to the top once again. I just don't know what it is, whether the crews work harder or what. And again, I was on, the chat on Loose Lugs last night. And AJ and Ryan were talking about how, or the championship four guys, the four drivers battling for championship, or this is flat out better than anybody else. I just don't know. The setting, or the word that AJ was trying to avoid, was cheating up the race cars a little bit. Obviously, Chase Elliott did not pass pre-tech until the third time, so at least he did that there, but it had no effect on the race as that car was just on a whole nother level last weekend out there in Arizona, and he was just on a mission, winning Martinsville, and obviously taking down Phoenix. And I just knew from the green flag, just a couple laps in, that Chase Elliott, this dude, he's all business, and he's gonna take it home for the people in Dawsonville, ring that siren all off season long. But that car was just fast. Right from the gun. And I just wonder if he would have started in the pole position, would he would have dominated this race? Who knows? We never know, right? But probably so, because he just knifed his way through the field. And he was up in the back half of the top 10 when the first caution came out. He was in the top 15. I want to say top 10. That might be stretching a little bit, but hey, it's been a week since NASCAR closed the gate on 2020. Chase Elliott, he was just on another planet in this race. And yeah, you wonder if he would have stayed in his regular position, that pole position, he would have dominated this race. And all thoughts say he probably would have. He would have stayed up there. That's for sure. He had a huge lead, I think 2.5 seconds on Brad Keselowski, to close it out right there. So, I mean, Chase Elliott was on a mission, had to win Martinsville to get there. He just rolled that momentum. 5 wins on the year, another championship for Rick Hendrick. And look, next year, we bring on now Kyle Larson in the picture now for that team. The reigning champ, Elliott. Bowman, who was very impressive in the Indies playoffs. And then, of course, William Byron, who finally got off the schneid with his first win in the Cup Series. That's a four-driver juggernaut right there that you're going to have to deal with week in and week out. And clearly, I mean, right now, I mean, Joe Gibbs, those cars at Phoenix were off. were off for sure. And now you're going to bring in, for Hendrick, a guy that's going to be absolutely 110% motivated to make his stance there. That's going to be something to watch next year. I know I'm jumping the gun. I'm sure we'll talk about it more in the offseason. There's still going to be offseason episodes now coming in January. All new season in January. EG331 NASCAR podcast, baby. But Chase Elliott, Kyle Larson, that's going to be something to watch right there. And Kyle Larson can easily elevate these guys to the next level. And Alex Bowman going to the 48, that's going to be something to see. as well. Same crew chief on there, obviously. And can William Byron continue to make progressions? He's going to have Rudy Fugel back on top of that pit box there for that 24 coming over from Kyle Busch Motorsports over there. That duo really clicked, obviously, in his 1 year in a truck series there, reeling off 7 wins and, of course, not getting to the final four, a.k.a. Kevin Harvick this year. Chase Elliott was a man on the mission, and it'll be interesting to see how he represents the sport. Obviously, he's obviously going to be the popular driver, and there's just no debate about that whatsoever. And now he's your NASCAR champion of 2020. It's funny to look back at it. This nine car was just hooked up. I know he had a couple of races. Well, actually, when I think about it now, there's probably not even one race. Maybe for the exception of the first race where he and Truex got collected in turn one there at Darlington. They're going for the race win there. So how about that for a turn of events there later on? 9 weeks later, you're crowned NASCAR Cup Series champion there for Chase Elliott. No doubt. And he gets it, 24. And Jimmy Johnson's first race was 26. This is what I got from the Loose Lux podcast last night. So I'm recording this episode on Friday night, early Friday night, November 13th, 2020. You can do the math there. I'm not y'all do the math on that right there. But yeah, absolutely. Just clobber defeat. There's no doubt about that in this instance here for Chase Elliott, wrapping up the year here in pretty much dominating fashion. No overtime needed. And I'm pretty sure back in the mind that, okay, prepare for the caution. I know Alan Gustafson at some point said that to him, you got to prepare for it. And Chase Elliott goes to the offseason winning the last two races of 2020. So basically, two race winning streak going in. Actually, when you look at it, you got to go back to the Roval. He won 3 races in the playoffs and could have won 4. Like I said, for the whole Truex episode there. 3 races wins in the postseason for Chase Elliott. He's your 2020 NASCAR Series Cup champion here. So, and then obviously going back home, Dawsonville is going bananas. And then seeing pictures of them celebrating Chase Elliott by the race car, not the obvious race car, but driving his race car around the city, Dawsonville, one of their own, winning the championship there. So Chase Elliott, 3 wins in these playoffs. And yeah, he was basically the fastest race car in these playoffs. And he going in to the postseason, obviously all the talk around all the podcasts, including this one, in all of NASCAR Nation, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, making basically a lock for the Final Four. We saw what that did. Harvick, I'm going to touch on him in a little while, but yeah, Hamlin, again, I don't know what it is, but struggled once again, and I mentioned it already a few moments ago, Joe Gibbs Racing Cars, as a whole, really, did not perform. And this 9 was in a different class of his own. There's no question about it. And again, stealing what Loose Lug said last night, duo AJ Ryan, how fitting all 3 drivers that won last weekend won at the Daytona Roval. And of course, we already mentioned Chase Elliott winning the Roval again. He won the Roval again at Charlotte. And so he just got going on right now. This Alan Gustafson, Chase Elliott, this 9 car. And again, do I have to bring up Martinsville? The whole Pete Pitt sequence there of the Jackman knowing, realizing what he had done. We all were caught off guard. We did not know this was a rule in the NASCAR rule book. Going back after leaving too early, retreating back to the wall, touching it, and then once Chase Elliott arrived back in the stall, he reset it and went back at it again. That's just really when it's all said and done. That might get lost in there, but I don't think it's going to get lost in the near future, though. That rule there pretty much led them, even though Chase obviously had a speed all 10 weeks there, to snag the win there, get the win there, and then obviously Phoenix, he knew what to do with it, and he seized the moment. There's no question about it. This is here, and he beat the duo of Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, and the second most dominant driver of the playoffs, going into the playoffs, was Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin, he had his off weeks in his playoffs. He and Harvick, both, especially Harvick, in that round of eight there. You got to be strong in all phases. You got to be strong in all 10 races. I mean, you have to perform when it counts. And I know you're trying to rack up all the wins. I get it. I mean, hey, it's part of the business. You win the race, right? But when it comes down to when it matters, you got to be at your best. And maybe for those guys, maybe they've peaked way too early or just performed too strong at the point where they lost their mojo at the end. So this is Chase Elliott just painted the picture. This nine car painted the picture. You have, and we've seen it. I think even the 78 of Truex might have done the same thing also, but you have to perform in this setting, championship setting. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I mean, Chase had his bumps on the road in his playoffs. We more documented, and obviously Texas, that was a little shaky on that point with the pit sequence early in that race there at Texas for the 9 car, but you got to perform all 10 weeks. I mean, that's what this format is. I mean, you have to perform when it counts. I mean, hell, I mean, it's all going to be all for naught for Hamlin and Harvick, who basically combined for 16 wins on a year. That's over half the schedule. That's half the NASCAR schedule. 16 wins. Harvick had 9 of them. Denny had at least 6 or 7 wins in there. 15 to 16, that's basically still over half the races this year, and for not one of them to come for the championship, that's got to be a disappointment, even though Danny continues to say we're going to continue to win races. But how many times are you going to do that? Put yourself in that spot. And where he ran, Denny Hamlin, Hamlin, Logano, and Keselowski, sorry for the brain fart there, all three of them ran in a buzzsaw, and Brad Keselowski's pit crew let Brad down. Brad was the only car. And yes, Joey Logano, I mentioned, he dominated the race early on while Chase was coming through, knifing his way through the field. But Brad Keselowski, in that second stage, passing Chase Elliott to win that stage there, really set a storyline there. But the other storyline there is that pit crew really slipped on bananas. They're losing all types of spots all night long. And that was the other key to the race there. I mean, Keselowski drove his ass off, and pit crew let him down, just like the pit crew Truex let him down there with a loose wheel. I mean, we could be easily to say another story, but story here for 2020 is Chase Elliott and him finding a groove here with his race team and finally getting over that barrier of just not getting to the round of 8 every year. You can get there, but can you get to that next step? Chase Elliott broke that barrier down, and not only that, he took this level, he took the field to school on last weekend on his way to the NASCAR Cup Championship for Chase Elliott in 2020.
You're listening to the 3Wide Podcast with EG3.
EG3 here on this cool, cool Friday evening, November 13th, 2020, for the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. Other winners in these playoffs, obviously Kevin Harvick. We go back, a recap of this. Harvick taking the first two or three. Brad Keselowski sandwiched in there, going back to the win at Richmond. And then this, where it got funky, here. The round of 12, Kurt Busch turning the field upside down, playoff field upside down with his win, kicking basically his brother out of the playoffs, Kyle Busch. Kurt Busch winning Vegas. And then obviously Denny Hamlin's lone win in these playoffs coming at Talladega, a controversial win at Talladega nonetheless. And I already mentioned Chase Elliott's win at the Roval there. Joey Logano getting the win in at Kansas there to put him, put basically Kevin Harvick on notice that there. And that well, that's really the other. There's so many keys to the road for Chase Elliott winning the championship. This is the other one. Logano holding off Kevin Harvick there at the end for 40 plus laps. I still am baffled by the whole thing. I said it a few weeks ago on this show that the package has its limits there. And Logano did everything he could to hold off Harvick, which he did successfully there, which put Kevin Harvick in a bad spot as worst track at Martinsville. Kyle Busch keeping his win streak in NASCAR alive at Texas, which shut out Martin Truex Jr. out. A potential another Final Four pits for Martin Truex Jr. So that too, I mean, Truex lost it on a pit sequence there in stage one, which really cost him. And then you go back, then you go, obviously, the Harvicks. That car was not in the ballpark at Martinsville, not scoring stage points. That's really hurt him. Did not score a stage point at all. Car not even in the racetrack. They were out in right field. So, and we know what Chase did. Chase kicked everybody's ass there in November. Well, late that's only a couple weeks ago, actually. My bad. And obviously, Chase Elliott winning the race there. And if you look at the total here, as I'm pulling up at the same time here, Chase Elliott, 236 laps led at Martinsville there. And then coming out west to Phoenix Raceway, where he's ran well there, he led another 153 laps there on top of that. So he did that race team has gobbled up the points, or I should say up the laps, if you will. So you take that 236 plus 153, doing it math out loud, that's almost 400 laps led. That's exactly 389 laps led to close out 2020. And you got a whole boatload of momentum going to Daytona next season, Lord willing, with all the stuff that's going on and with all the COVID stuff that's going on, that's rising rapidly all of a sudden. And that's just another discussion there. But so, I mean, everybody said it was going to, that's a side note there. Everybody said it was going to get worse when the winter came around. Well, that seems to be trending that way. So that's not good. But we'll definitely, all of us will definitely keep that in mind. But back to the task at hand here, Chase Elliott, almost 400 laps led in his skates here. He leading the championship four. Brad Keselowski finished second. Joey Logano third. Denny Hamlin fourth. Your championship four. All of them finishing the 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't think this happened in the championship races at Homestead. I think this is the first time that we see Championship 4 finish 1, 2, 3, 4 in its existence. So that's a nugget there. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first time all four championship contenders finish 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's what I'm thinking about. So I don't think, I mean, we've seen title contenders finish 1, 2 here and there, but this is the first time all of them finish up there. So that's kudos to Phoenix Raceway. And like I talked about at the top of this podcast tonight, the cream rising to the top. Chase Elliott put on an absolute clinic, beating the Pitsy Cars, who were basically going for a second championship with either Keselowski or Logano. Falling short, Logano led 125 laps in this one, but he was no match for the 9 and Denny Hamlin. Another multi-win year. And falling short, and again, like I mentioned earlier tonight, how many opportunities you're going to put yourself in the Final Four. I mean, we've seen freak things happen this year, a.k.a. Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Truex. So, you can only put yourself in this position so many times that your luck's going to run out sooner or later. And we know Danny Hamlin, he, Michael Jordan, who own a rate, will be bringing on their race team next year with Bubba Wallace, which I'm excited for personally for that team. But for the driver's side, how many times are you going to put yourself in a position where you fall short again, time after time? Last year, put the bumper tape over his team, put a big-ass tape piece over his nose, cost him opportunity to win the championship there. This year, this time around, car nowhere near as fast. He struggled with the handling of that race car. Yes, that finish might be the deck of how that race car handled. I mean, that not to his liking there, which, again, Denny Hamlin just kicked everybody's ass last year to end getting that ticket to the Final Four at Homestead. This year, that car, not close to what it was last year. And, yeah, and the result is another missed opportunity. I mean, you can play it off all you want, but in the back of your mind, you have to think of yourself, how many times you're going to win 5-plus races, put yourself in position, right, to get yourself in a championship four hunt discussion and to fall short, and you ran into a buzzsaw. Chase Elliott had the momentum, had the speed, most importantly, though, had the speed, raw speed at that. I just knew 5 laps in, this guy's going to go up here and win the championship. I just knew from the drop of the green flag. He just kept through the field while Denny Hamlin just struggled to get by him at times, too. So, the only one to get by him was Keselowski, and his pit crew failed him. So, yeah, I mean, when it gets to the title races, that's like, again, sorry to bring up this analogy again, but a marathon race, whether it's a big-time marathon, big-time marathon or not, I mean, you can have a good day, you can have a bad day. I mean, that in a perfect example, the Olympic trials in Atlanta going, which is seems to be a long time ago now, which is back early this year. You had top contenders. Everybody predicted a couple of top contenders to be in that, to qualify, be on that U.S. team. And if, for some of you who don't know that analogy, obviously, if you finish top three, you automatically qualify for the U.S. team, basically. So, men and women's. So, top three finishers, you automatically advance. You finish fourth, you basically go home. you're basically done. You enjoy the experience, you're done. You do not advance to the Olympic team. So, kind of just putting it like that. Yeah, some top contenders not go get there, not perform at their best. And the same thing applies here. I mean, you're relying on your crew chief, your team, to prepare the best car possible. And if you're off a little bit, that could really cost you. And that did for the 11 team and the 4. They were nowhere to be found. That team was way off. And yeah, they finished 7th down here. Let's just give a couple shots here real quick. Here on the podcast, Jimmy Johnson's final race in NASCAR, at least for the moment. Anyways, keep that in mind. Jimmy Johnson going out on a bang. Top 5 finish. Finished 5th. He's the first non-playoff driver in 5th spot. Ryan Blaney finished 6th. Kevin Harvick 7th. Matt DiBenedetto 8th. William Byron 9th. Martin Truex Jr. rounds out the top 10 there to close out Phoenix. So, yeah, Jimmy Johnson, where was that? I mean, finished 5th, and yeah, he had a competitive car as well. So, almost all 3 of the 4 Hendrick cars finished in the top 10 there. You got to go back a little bit to find Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman was running in the top 5 early in this race. You got to go back to him. Finished in the 16th position there. And then, obviously, Kyle Busch just outside the top 10. And 11, that's some of the disappointments of the year, if you will, there. Kyle Busch only winning 1 race this year, and he barely got it done at Texas on a few strategy games. So, yeah, Harvick, yeah, going back to him really fast, 9 wins. I mean, great season, but maybe it could have been better. I mean, that team was way off. the mark. And yet, seventh, that's an anomaly because that team was nowhere close to what they were doing. And a lot of us, including me, thought that he would go up there and win the race. This is his house. And lately, it's not. You know, he fell short to Joey Logano early this year at Phoenix. And then here, he's just way off. Not even, he was out in left field somewhere. So, in rare conversation this year, so Harvick in the 2020 year, yes, he finished inside the top 10. But in the year, kind of on a sour note of what could have been he and Hamlin both. So, if you want to raise a title, now I might be bringing this up next month when we do the EG3 awards. Yep, that's coming next month. Stay tuned for that. Details for that. The fifth edition of the awards. So I'm very excited for that. Are Chase Elliott taking down the dominant duo of Harvick and Hamlin? How about that for a headline 2020? So, yeah, Harvick, he gotta be disappointed. I mean, he was frustrated. He was even more frustrated with the handling of that race car. So I don't know how in the world he finished seventh with an ill handling race car. And another shout out to Clint Bowyer, final race for him hanging it up, going to the Fox booth, which I'm definitely looking forward to here seeing him when the calendar year turns 2021. Bowyer finished 14th, matching the car number. And, of course, Chase Briscoe taking over this ride next year for Stuart Haas Racing. Clint Bowyer finished 14th, and he was up in the back half of the top 10 earliest race also and fell off the mark. So, that's got to be disappointing there. You had the same equipment, and I've talked about this numerous times on this podcast this year and really in the past too, that they had the same equipment and not up to the task. So it'll be interesting to see what Chase Briscoe does next year, along with a couple other new faces in here as well. And I'm sure we'll discuss that, me and my guest, next week. And I've already kind of split the beans on that, if you guys were paying attention to that, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, this race, if you look at it, it's lopsided because really Championship Four guys dominated this race, really, from drop the green flag when you really look at things. So Chase Elliott coming out, doing a damn thing, seizing the moment, and yeah, just seizing the moment. That's what it's all about in this case. So really anxious to see what it does. But for right now, Chase Elliott, your 2020 NASCAR champion, and another dominant performance to cap off a 2020 year that we thought that, and kudos to NASCAR for doing what it needed to do. And with the situation that's arising now that I just mentioned a few moments ago on this podcast tonight, I'm a little worried about the situation at hand. But now, give kudos to NASCAR for getting all these races in. Doubleheaders were a good idea at some of these racetracks. Pocono, Michigan, Dover, awesome. Awesome stuff there. We saw some exciting racing. We saw some unpredictability racing in the postseason. There we saw the dominant driver of 2020, Kevin Harvick, not make the Final Four. That's going to be talked about for quite a while going in 2021. There's no question about that. How do you give up 63 playoff points and not get the Final Four? Man, that's, I'll be stewing over that one. I'll be pissed. Seriously, I would. The competitor in me, I'll be pissed if I didn't get the chance. All that for nothing. I mean, I said it was going to be wasted. I said that word last week on the podcast. I said, you know, if Denny Hamlin, you know, going to game 7 moment, and he had opportunity. Sorry, Denny Hamlin, you didn't get it done at Phoenix. And again, you're left scratching your head and wondering, you know, how many times you get back to situation. I mean, that's like the Super Bowl. How many times you're going to get to the big one, have opportunity to win? You got to seize the moment when it's there. And Chase Elliott, a poster child of the format. You got to perform well as best. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to go back and average the total, but I'm pretty sure he was, average finish of 7th or 8th in these playoffs, something like that. 3 wins leading a bunch of laps, that's what you gotta do. You gotta perform in the postseason. That's for everything. Whether it's Major League Baseball, the Dodgers, NBA, the Lakers, those guys, I mean, you gotta perform. And you don't perform, all that goes in a garbage can. So in my book, really, for me, and I might sound harsh, I'm sorry, but Harvick, Hamlin, all those wins are for naught in 2020, and Denny Hamlin, another year goes by. Now, I mean, yeah, he's come up, he's in his prime for real, even though he's already is, but how many times? I mean, we just don't know. Kyle Busch is a perfect example of that, struggling to get wins. And yes, Chris Capehart, Denny Hamlin, they've been reeling out probably more wins than the duo of Gustafson and Chase Elliott, but no championship so far. So, yeah, I'll let you marinate on that for a minute.
You're listening to the Three Wide Podcast with EG3.
The Arizona 5-4-3 Wide Podcast here. Just a few more minutes with y'all here tonight here in Manhattan, Kansas. Eddie Greer III in the MHK, the cold MHK now, as now winter, it definitely feels like winter, but it did feel like winter temperatures this morning, but more like fall, in between fall slash winter temperatures here, and it's supposed to warm back up this weekend here. I'm here with you guys for a few more minutes, and I'm going to throw, to end this podcast here, I'm going to throw out my top five power rankings here. To close out this episode here again, season finale next week with my special guest who's been in the show multiple times. We will go into further discussion, especially on the trucks in Xfinity, where Austin Cindric won the Xfinity Series Championship over Allgaier on the last lap, and then the truck series, a thrilling finish there, caught a game, well, really, a season changing caution there. Brett Moffitt in the driver's seat to win the championship for not, well, his second championship in 3 years. Didn't do it. Couldn't do it. Caution coming out there for a spinning truck on the backstretch there. And the comeback. And Sheldon Creed competed to come from behind victory there and passing his teammate there and Grant Enfinger to secure his first championship. There's a lot to discuss there. Tomorrow, that's next week on the season finale of the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, and there will be another episode. So we're going to be tying a loose end to 2020 for the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, but there are going to be some open episodes as well. So we're in the discussions of that, maybe 2 weeks at a time, probably possibly. So that's what it is now, and then, of course, I'm working on a project for the offseason as well. So you're just seeing 3-Wide podcast on the feed, so don't go anywhere, especially next week. And obviously I mentioned the EG3 Awards, the 5th edition, coming out next month as well. So yep, lots going on, and I have another podcast also that I'm doing as well, so that is why I'm kind of taking, well, now I should say hiatus, kind of some breaks in between the offseason to work on some stuff for next year. But my power rankings real fast to close out show. The Arizona 5-4. Chase Elliott, obviously my number one. In this case here, 15 top fives, 22 top tens this year. 1,000 for the first time in his career, leading over 1,000 laps in a season, 1,200 plus for Chase Elliott. He's my number one. So this is going to surprise you a little bit here. Number two, I got Brad Keselowski. Number two, Brad Keselowski. Yep, I said it. Brad Keselowski. 13 top fives, 24 top tens, and just over 900 laps led. So Keselowski really came on. Yep, and like I said in numerous spots, especially earlier this year, where he got laughing stock with the crew chiefs of Jeremy Bowens. I really underestimated Bowens as a crew chief. And yeah, I mean, probably because, well, mainly because he didn't win much with Ryan Blaney. And they gave away some races And Blaney, that's the same thing with him still this year, from this year. Gave away a lot of races this year. It could have been a different story for Ryan Blaney, but instead, you know, he was knocked out early after the second round of the playoffs. So, yeah, with a veteran, a champion crew chief with Ty Gordon. So, that's the same with him. But Bowens really stepped up to the plate there for, and I believe these two worked together at one point or another in the Xfinity Series. So, I totally forgot about that for Jeremy Bowens and Brad Keselowski. But this team really came on strong also late. That's why I have them there. And who knows? The pit crew was on their A game. Who knows? Keselowski would have gave Elliott a run for his money there late in that game. But he fell short some 2.5 seconds back of the eventual champion, Chase Elliott. My number three third driver, Denny Hamlin. Number three for the EC3 Power Rankings. 7 wins. So, yeah, 9-7, 16 wins total for him and Harvick. 18 top fives. Damn. 21 top tens. Only one DNF this year. 1,083 laps led for Denny Hamlin. And yet, coming short of another opportunity to win that first elusive championship. My goodness. So, how many chances? The question now becomes now. He's going to be a team owner now next year in 2021. Question on the driver's side now. How many years can he keep up the high intensity of getting these wins? That's the question there. Falling short. EG3 Power Ranking number three, Denny Hamlin. Number four on the list here is the other guy, Harvick. Kevin Harvick drops to four in my rankings. 9 wins. Yes, it's weird. Yes, you guys probably puzzle at me. Nah, this guy has 9 wins, but he didn't perform when he needed most. 9 wins, 20 top fives, 27 top tens. And obviously, led the most laps this year. Over 1,500 laps led for Kevin Harvick and Ronnie Childress. So, yeah, again, I pretty much said what needed to be said there here tonight on this podcast. You leave 2020 successful, but not successful enough there. A missed opportunity, and I talked about it in my other podcast, the Purple Project podcast, where K-State missed an opportunity to beat 14th-ranked Oklahoma State. Well, Harvick missed an opportunity to win this championship there, but even so, I don't know if he would have made it like he's supposed to. Chase Elliott was just on a different plan, so that would have been a fun-ass battle to watch the 4 and the 9 go at it for the championship. but we can only shy at what if, and in the fifth and final driver tonight, in the top five, Joey Logano is fifth on my list. Logano, 3 wins, 12 top fives, 21 top tens, 4 DNFs, and he's also led 900-plus laps this year as well. Logano getting there to, and he started the round of 8 outside the cut line. He had to win to get in. That's what he did. And eventually, at the end of that round, knocked out the dominant driver out of the playoffs, Kevin Harvick. So, fifth on the list there is Logano. So, there's my rankings right there for our cap off another edition of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Chase Elliott, number 1, Keselowski, 2. Hamlin 3, Harvick 4, and Logano 5 right there. So that's kind of a wrap-up. Put a bookend on the cup top here on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast season finale. More in-depth analysis from my special guest next week to cap off a tremendous season on the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. And we'll talk more about, don't worry, we'll talk more about the trucks and a tremendous finish there. Like I mentioned earlier tonight on the show, you can follow me at Eddie_EG3 on Twitter. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. If you missed out on any episodes this year, you better catch up the offseason. There's been some really good ones this year. Really good guests this year. I'm really excited, anxious for what's to come in the upcoming months for sure. But a lot of good stuff out there. Even if you missed a few episodes, it's on the archives on Apple, Spotify, Audioboom, iHeartRadio, you know the deal, and including Amazon Music. If you have Alexa in your home, tell it to play the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. It should do that right off the bat, folks. Man, it's been something here in 2020. It's been a weird year, that for sure. And I'm saving a speech for EC3 Awards. It's been some quite a year, but thankful that all the races got in this year for NASCAR, and we saw some exciting stuff. So we're finishing up 2020 on the back end here on the podcast here. Next week, the season 5 finale on the podcast, and a special guest that I probably gave away already. So very excited to have the guest back on. Shall leave you with that cliffhanger. And then, of course, the 3Y podcast could be going to 2 weeks at a time in the off season. Still kind of confirming on that. I'm going to be working on a project during the off season as well, getting you guys set for next season as well. Man, it's been something, folks. 2020, Chase Elliott, your Cup Series champion. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap for another edition of 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. Big D, appreciate your hard work this year, and I'll be saying this again in the couple episodes here that we have left here in 2020 as well. Appreciate you, and I appreciate you guys for listening each and every week to the 3Y NASCAR podcast, EG3, on this Friday night, the 13th of November, 2020. Again, this will go out immediately after we do some edits and whatnot. And so, yeah, so enjoy your weekend here or wherever you listen to this podcast. We'll be back next week with the season finale of the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Can't wait for that. And even though that's the season finale next week, though, we're going to still be popping in with episodes here and there as well. So EG3, the 3Y NASCAR podcast, I put myself in third-person sentence. I can't believe that. But anyways, rambling on, Chase Elliott, your 2020 NASCAR Series Cup champion. We out.
Talk to you next time, going 3Y.